Hello and welcome back to another episode of Arcana
Archives. Oh, that was wonderful.
Try again.
Here we go. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Arcana Archives. Today, another exciting in-person event, this time with recurring guest Anna Draper.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, and first-time guest, longtime best friend, Justin Connor.
Hello, everybody.
Wait, your last name is Connor? I actually never knew that.
Lame last name. So
that's an amazing last name. You have two first names. Do you know how long I've wanted to have a friend that had two first names? And I've had one this whole time.
I've been planning to change my entire name for ages.
What? It's a beautiful name.
If you change your name, give it to me for my collection.
Deal. You can have it.
I just have a collection of names.
That's like incredibly fey of you.
Just yeah. In a jar next to your bed.
And steal someone's name.
Yeah.
Yes. But, okay. This week, my fun fact is I recently discovered or read an article on that Lego is planning on completely redoing their material so that it is completely biodegradable and recyclable in like the next few years.
Yes.
But with how meticulous Lego is compared to even like some of the companies right below it doing sort of the same thing, they are still doing it. And the reason why it's taken so long for anybody else to do it is because the bricks still have to fit perfectly together since its inception in like the 60s or way before. And they are still doing that with the biodegradable because it still has to hold up the structure. And that is just so exciting to me.
Are we allowed to do fun facts that aren't about ourselves anymore? Because that opens up a world of opportunities for me.
Do it.
That wasn't a fact about Rogan. That was just a fact.
That was just a fun fact.
It was really fun.
I had a fun time. Yeah. Good job. Yeah. Well, my fun fact is still about myself because this is the first time hearing of this new rule or whatever. But my fun fact is that I have managed to kill the unkillable plant, a cactus.
Oh, no.
Well, to be fair, the cactus was 15 years old, and it came from my good friend Connor, who's been on this podcast before. He got it from his grade 6 teacher, and he gave it to me when he gave it to me for my 16th birthday, as in the 10th grade, and I managed to keep the cactus alive for another 7 years, and then the cactus rotted from the inside out and fell over.
Oh, no.
It was tragic.
Rest in peace.
Good story about the cactus, though.
That wasn't fun. That made me really sad. That was a sad fact.
Oh, frick. I forgot it had to be a fun fact.
I just really love plants, and I'm sad.
Yeah.
And with that, on to Anna.
Hey, yo. Fun fact about me. While I am a musician, I am not a violinist. However, I was visiting my grandma in Kelowna, and she gave me her violin that her father bought her when she was a child. So it's old, like my grandma, who is old. And so I'm trying to learn, and I can now play a Twinkle Twinkle Little Star so poorly on the violin.
Oh,
amazing.
Such a hard instrument. Oh, I need frets. Oh, but I would love to learn violin.
Oh,
every time you play a note, you got to figure out that tuning every time.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's like singing, though, maybe.
Yeah,
so you know, your vocal cords don't have frets either.
You control them with your brain directly. You don't have to do thingy stuff.
And Justin!
Well, since Rogan has moved on from fun facts about themselves, I'm going to give the fun fact that technically, over the last few years, I didn't know, but birds have become officially, by scientific consensus, straight up considered dinosaurs.
Ooh.
That's awesome.
Obviously, they've always been, you know, last lineage, but they are now just yes.
Dinosaurs did not die. They're birds now.
Here's a real struggle of in-person recording. You can hear every one of us make a creak or a foot noise.
Wonder, and it's just that little bit of extra love I have to put into the editing.
It's just because we love Rogan so much that I make all these weird noises.
Aww, I'm going to take my back off of the chair.
Give Justin the creaky chair.
As you rotate, yeah. Consistently.
As I ADHD constantly spin around.
But anyways, our episode today is on D&D. Because this is our D&D group right here that we've been playing with for maybe a little less than 2 years.
About 18 months, because we started right around the time the pandemic started.
Mm-hmm. Which was weird starting online, but...
We played one in-person session last week.
Yep.
And I mean, it was our first in almost a calendar year.
Yeah, it'd been a hot minute.
But we're back on track, baby. Yes, but anyways, what we thought for this episode, since we have sort of a round robin thing going here, is we can just each take maybe 5 to 10 minutes to talk about a certain...
We should roll for initiative to see who gets to talk about their topic first.
Oh my goodness, I don't have my dice in here.
Oh god. I'll roll.
I'm trying to get my dice, they're not far, but...
Does Justin have it? He has it.
Nice.
Okay, let's pass around a d20 and everybody tell their numbers.
Oh, and don't forget to put your initiative modifier.
No. I think I have a plus one to dex.
I got a 4.
I got...
13.
13 of them. This is a nice dice.
It is.
Ooh, that feels good in your hands.
It's all rubbery.
Just arrived.
Two, baby!
So are we going largest to smallest, or...
That's how initiative works.
Sure.
Nope.
All right. That's me.
That's Chelsea first.
All right. Well, good, because I have two topics, so I'll also go last.
Oh dang!
So my first topic is a little bit shorter. This is something I actually wanted to introduce to our D&D group today, in our sessions, because I think it's important to introduce something like this before it's a problem. So,
especially with a group like
ours, we actually love to cause problems.
Not in the murder hobo kind of way.
No, in the doing anything but murder hoboing kind of way.
Yeah. Anyway, so I saw in some D&D sessions I've been watching on YouTube, they have an X that they hold, that any player can hold up if they're uncomfortable with any given situation. It's kind of like a trigger warning, or like, hey, like, stop. However, what I thought would be an interesting take on that is traffic lights. So if you're really into role-playing your character, and your character's really angry, you can hold up a green light to say, hey, me as a person, I'm fine, and I'm good to keep going, even though my character is, like, really, really upset in this moment. So as a DM, I'll be able to recognize that you guys are still doing okay. Or that my yellow light is, yo, DM, this session is starting to head in a direction that I'm not super comfortable with. Can we, like, take it back a minute, take a break, talk about it, and then... combined with my yellow light, I have a blue square that anybody can hold up if they need to, like, take a break to go to the bathroom, and I can, like, find a nice way to segue to pause the story without having anybody have to interrupt. And I have a red one, too, and that acts the same way as the X. You just hold up your little red square, and you're like, y'all, stop immediately. I'm not having a good time right now. I came out to have a good time, and honestly, I'm just feeling super attacked right now. So... yeah, so I thought it would be a good idea to introduce a system like that before it becomes a problem, because then it'll just feel like you're making fun of the person who was a problem for. So, yeah, new thing to try today.
That is an interesting system. I like that you don't have to, like, interrupt the DM.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, like, if you want to be more subtle about it and you don't want everybody in the party to know that you're the person who has a problem, you can just, like, kind of flash and be like... Red card.
You gotta love the safety tools in your role-playing game.
Hell yeah.
Right, I do. I mean, like, I think I've heard people using, like, red, yellow, greens. I do enjoy the addition of the folks, I gotta go to the bathroom.
Yeah, the blue card.
Like, the other ones are obviously about, like, making sure that everyone's emotionally safe, which is incredibly important. Mm-hmm. But also, I do sometimes get very stressed out, where I'm like, we're really rolling along, and I don't want to stop the action, but I really gotta pop out for a second. I find that so stressful.
That's a universal problem.
Yeah.
I believe, because, man, I have found myself in so many situations.
How long can I hold it for?
That's been one of the great parts about being online. Bluetooth headphones.
Oh.
Yes.
Push to talk.
The amount of times I've kept listening and gone to the bathroom or something, just make sure your mic is muted, because the one time that you don't,
everybody.
So embarrassing.
Oh, yeah.
Out there with your toilet trumpet.
Or you could just get ready right beforehand and just play your entire session on the shitter.
Oh, smart.
Set up the mic in the bathroom.
Yes. Oh, just great sound quality. Yes, like, you gotta love that full tile bouncing sound.
Yeah, the full echo. Mm. Yeah.
But to make this work, first you have to, like, duct tape, like, towels and blankets to all the walls.
Don't worry about it.
Just the poor man's vocal booth. Just set up 3 mattresses and you're good. Make a tent fort over top of it, just with a blanket.
Okay, but that would be a problem for me, because does anybody else here get, like, ridiculously hot when you're pooping? Like, my sweater is coming off.
Chelsea's, like, second fun fact.
That was the very fun.
And, like, the poor man's recording booths get so hot that, like,
there's an open side on it, though.
It would still be too hot. I'd feel like I was gonna die.
Oh no. I mean, it does get very hot in here, and I, like, die editing this in the summer when it's, like, 30 degrees.
It's really hot in here.
Yeah, this room is already.
We're cooking. Warm. We're cooking alive. It's help, Rogan's trying to kill us.
It's a good 10 degrees cooler than what it was this summer.
I believe it.
This summer.
Yeah, you have no air circulation and a beefy computer in a room with editing software on it.
Air is under the table in the very back.
It's not too bad if you don't move around too much.
Yeah.
Oh, and don't have a computer that gets up to 100 Celsius.
Yeah, true.
Yes.
Oh, I had one thing to add about my color system that I forgot to mention, just to get us back on track, and then we'll move on to the next person.
Put us back on the rails, please.
Yeah, so I'm putting us gently back on the rails. If you hold up a yellow card and a blue card, like, the yellow one's like, yo, we're heading in a direction I don't really like, and the blue card at the same time, that could mean, hey, can we just take a break before we keep going down this path? Like, I'm doing okay. This is gonna be fine. I just need to compose myself for a hot second.
Now,
before we can continue talking about this,
do you have a system for yourself too? Because I've said this, I believe, just to Anna, but also if I am ever doing something that is just so stupid and ruining all your plans, just tell me no, please. Because I can be a goof and put things down more of a comedy train than anything. And if that ever just, like, interrupts your entire plan, just, like, tell me no, or, like, ruin my character, please.
I can actually just one hit KO Rogan's character.
Yeah. Just, like, we're taking a break from just, Rogan for a second here.
Just immediately the system is, you just go, all right, Rogan, I need you to roll a death saving throw.
Like, why?
Because
you got struck by lightning, okay? Because God hates you. Chelsea, you're God. Yeah.
Roll a comedy check.
One thing that I like about this is I really like the idea of the green light, because sometimes you're like, I mean, the role play is really fun and you want to do the really intense role play, but also you're like, this is a lot, and these are my friends, and are my friends okay?
Yeah.
I'm not mad at you. My character's mad at you. I'm not mad at you. I just want everyone to, like...
That's what I loved about the green light.
Yeah, you don't want to stop and be like, everybody good, because it stops the drama, but you also want to know that everybody's good.
Yeah, so if everybody's holding up green light when something like that's happening, then you just can just keep going. You can get really into it.
Yeah.
It brings yes and to a whole new level of safety.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Rogan, your character is fun. I'm really green as a DM, so I'm not very good at like directing the story around a way that doesn't like completely railroad you guys, but also like allows you to, I don't know, I talk about this, it's my second topic, is the concept of railroading versus sandbox worlds. So I'm
But like the entire thing, like revolving soup in our last campaign,
that was hilarious.
Like, but we just completely like derailed the entire like premise of that first one shot. If something like that does like directly interfere, like I'm not saying like pay attention to that and like absolutely be harder on me, like if you don't want to, but I'm just putting it out there that if I ever,
you're giving me a green card.
Yes, I'm giving you permission to like say no if anything is just too wild and stupid.
We ain't gonna stop goofing, but if the goofs get too hard, you can smack us down.
No, I actually live for it. Like the soup saga was so funny.
There's nothing out. Oh, the soup saga.
Have to talk about that maybe another time.
Yeah, I was like, should we catch up our listeners, or should we just do an episode about like our funniest moments in D&D?
I don't know. I almost feel like we should, because I was literally gonna talk about the exact same thing as your last topic.
No.
You take it away with the soup.
So we were already on the same brainwave.
We're so in sync. That'll make for a good session tonight. I rolled a 13.
You were six.
You were six. And what did you roll?
I was 6-4-2.
Hey, as a DM, maybe I'll roll higher tonight than you guys for once in my goddamn life.
Well, we already got our bad rolls out of the way.
Yeah.
That way we can soup again.
Everybody roll out their ones first.
I forgot to roll out my ones last time. That was a problem.
Oh,
true. I mean, you did roll out your ones repeatedly many times.
I did throughout the campaign.
And somehow you never ran out.
I didn't.
Did you leave your dice in the moonlight overnight?
I did, actually. I recharged them.
I was going to recommend that.
I used all of the secrets to recharge my dice. I Googled how to do it. Anyway.
All right, Justin, soup.
Justin, what's your topic?
What I was going to talk about was just the thing I enjoy a lot about D&D, which is more the fact that compared to traditional games, you have more emergent gameplay instead of just... strict story, which obviously there is a degree of your dungeon master needs to be able to get you to the end.
And your dungeon master has to be good at improvising to make sure that you can explore the world and enjoy your times.
Exactly.
I think I've heard it best described as D&D, the DM is weaving a story, but the characters are fighting back.
Often.
I'm not against the story, though, hopefully.
But also,
well, yeah.
I also feel like you don't want you. The goal is never to be at odds with your DM. You're trying to be in sync, yes. Even though you might be a shitlord as a character.
That's what the green cards are for. I brought enough for myself to have some too. So if you guys are, you know, goofing around, I can be like, carry on, or like, y'all. I need like a second to figure out how I'm gonna make this story work.
All right, I need you guys to stop with the soup for 2 seconds so that I have time to figure out how the hell you ended up here.
Yeah, how did we get here?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was I very much one of the things that sticks out in my mind from one of my earlier sessions with the group I run with a lot is that a combat encounter was solved just because our DM is very flexible was solved by the party realizing that there was a combat encounter, realizing that there were the ingredients for explosives around.
Oh,
not like clearer ingredients, more like the party knew a little bit too much about explosives in real life and created one and just rolled it into the cave, and the combat encounter ended.
Yes. A real... Who was DMing that session? Was that me or you?
No, that was one of his.
One of yours. Yeah. Okay, I thought that was when Rogan's character Mal got introduced. We exploded, or you guys exploded the...
No, I think it just blew up.
Or it just blew up or something.
I think that's part of his backstory that will maybe be revealed.
Ooh.
What happened to explode the giant lab that you found Mal in?
Yes.
Our depressed robot friend.
Love him, Mal.
That's one thing, like, that it is so odd. Like, no real, like, video game or anything outside of D&D can, like, and, like,
yeah,
just open up that many possibilities for, like, anything can happen as long as you have, like, the knowledge and, like, it follows generally the rules.
And a DM who, yeah, you can't jump to the moon, obviously, but if you have a DM who can improvise and...
who says that a part of your D&D campaign can't take place on the moon? Nobody. It's been done.
It could take place on the moon, but you can't jump there from Earth.
I have a jump height of... 200 kilometers, like 200,000 kilometers. There we go. I can just go to Jupiter.
And yeah, and get more stupider.
Probably.
There's one you haven't heard. So since you're talking about the railroading versus sandbox of D&D, maybe I could jump in and share a little bit about my topic too. And
absolutely.
And we'll just break initiative to make things make more sense.
I'll just hold my action.
We rolled initiative, but someone tripped, and now...
Chelsea uses a reaction to get back.
Yes.
An attack of opportunity has been incurred.
So, we've kind of talked about a lot of what I wanted to say about how if you have a sandbox world, you obviously have to make sure that you follow the laws of physics of the world and don't jump to the moon.
But you can roll a bomb into a cave.
Yeah, but yeah, like let your characters find fun and creative ways to solve problems is a huge part of it. And I think that, you know, sandbox DMs and railroad DMs both have their own pros. Like a sandbox DM allows people to have those creative experiences, like rolling a bomb into the cave to explode their nemesis, or even using diplomacy to get out of a combat situation, which you guys have done to me countless times.
soup.
And then, but the dangers of a sandbox DM, like I try really hard to be more sandbox oriented, is that like I can lose the story and we can spend an entire session going off on a tangent and I have to improvise. Yeah, and I have to improvise the entire session.
I don't think that's... Oh, well, at least as a player, I don't see that as a bad thing, but I can understand as a DM not having any fucking clue.
as long as I can keep track of the story and I make good notes so that I can add it to my world later. And it's really fun for me. I like to do improv, so I don't personally mind that, and that's why that's my preferred style of DMing. But then, like, a railroad DM has their own advantages because they move the story along quicker. And there's less distractions. So for a group like this, sometimes a railroad DM might be important to get everybody back on track and stop talking about soup and Radio Shack. But I think that the true good DM, and I am not very good at this, has to fall somewhere in the middle where you let the characters come up with their creative and interesting solutions to solve problems and then get them back on track without seeming like you're pushing them in the direction. Like, drop clues and make them think it's their idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotta love the making them think it's their idea. I like I can't remember who. I think it was in Brennan Lee Mulligan from Dimension 20 does a podcast called Adventuring Party where he mostly interviews other DMs. But they were like, you know, sometimes my party needs to get information and I say that they should maybe talk to the bartender, and they go talk to the bartender. They talk to the librarian or the manager of the Fantasy Radio Shack.
Travis.
Travis, the manager at the Fantasy Radio Shack, yeah. And then, oops, sorry, I've reskinned all the information that they needed to get that was plot relevant into Travis.
Oops.
The manager at the Fantasy Radio Show. And they feel like they got to do the fun scene, and I let them do the fun scene, and that was great, and they also got plot relevant information.
No.
Yes.
And then, I think as a player, there's something about, like, I love the kind and intelligent people who DM for me. You guys.
Hey. Oh, thank you.
That I play with. And I feel like I trust that they have planned a cool and fun story, and so I don't mind being railroaded a little bit, because I'm like, this is probably gonna be dope, because you wrote something cool, and I could, like, avoid going there and go in some other direction, but you didn't write something cool over there, like, you've prepared something cool over here, where the railroad tracks are.
I can't wait until I'm not so green of a DM, that I can make it everybody feel like my prepared stuff is your spontaneous adventure.
It's that improv dream.
We'll get there one day, but for now, improvising is fun.
Spontaneous adventure where someone tried to pay us and then we took all of their money.
No. Oh man.
Yeah, entrepreneurs.
The extortion. The extortion this group does.
I prefer the term entrepreneurship.
All right, well.
Okay, well, at initiative 4.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk a little bit about storytelling, both from, like, a player's perspective and the DM's perspective.
I love how nicely all these topics segue together.
And I think I'm going to focus more on, like, from player's perspective, because I feel like we've touched a lot on like, the DM and, like, yeah, with railroading and sandboxing. But, like, one of my favorite things is that character creation stage and just figuring out all, like, diving deep into what is the just nastiest chain of like, spells or something you can do to inflict on your poor DM.
Well, and you guys...
That's part of character creation.
That's part specifically. I was going to compliment every one of you and be like, you write amazing characters with these great backstories and they're really fun to play with and interact together. But then Rogan was just like, no, I mean, like, torturing the DM. Well, nice.
That's one of the most minor things on my list, but that's something that I do enjoy, is just, like, coming up with chains and stuff, especially as a spellcaster. But, like, just coming up with... because all my ideas originate first as, like, hey, this would be cool, and, like, maybe, like, a 3-word or a 1-sentence, like, idea sparks in my head. Like, this one was, like, I want to be a depressed robot that used to be something else, and then, like,
just go from there.
And then I'm like, okay, from there I want to be a living steel, like, warforged. We have to sort of I discussed it a lot with Chelsea as the DM, because
we had to figure out how to make it work.
Like, yeah, we weren't using, like, a more modern system, so it had to be more like a magical core to justify him being there.
And then, like, to get the parts for him, I had to bring Radio Shack into the land, which is a time traveling,
yes.
A time traveling multi-dimensional shop that can bring things like cassette players from across time and space.
Also, I think we bought weed from Travis.
Well, I think we did. Yeah.
Yeah, Travis.
We also built the grow up operation with that weed.
Travis, the owner of the Radio Shack, is 110% a stoner, so he knows where to get the good.
He is also 120% a multi-dimensional being.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
I mean, once you're a multi-dimensional being, you know how awesome getting high is. So.
I wouldn't underestimate Travis.
But yeah, like, I always have those, like, sort of 1 or 2 point ideas. Like, this one was just, I want to be a depressed robot and kind of not know who I am and memory loss. And then, like, from there go into, like, some of the finer details of what can I expand off of this to make it a really interesting character and put into the backstory. Like, how did he get here? And, like, one of my favorite things was my very first D&D character was Greg. And Greg is a lizard person who I'm like, hey, what if I choose one of these very sort of aggressive territorial races that don't generally interact well with others and give him just a high enough charisma that he wants to pretend that he's a human and for everybody else to think that he's a human without like a disguise kit or anything. So he just has a high enough charisma stat that he can just convince everybody that
Jeffrey Bezos.
Can I ask what actually is Greg's charisma score?
It is we were at I think like level 5 or 6 when we left off and it was already like 90.
As in the number or the bonus?
No, the bonus with proficiency and stuff. Like I had, I think, a plus 11 to like persuasion. And he is a beautiful being. But yes, also like I worked with Chris as my DM to make sure that like maybe he was sort of a celebrity, like a growing celebrity around the continent that they were exploring, so people would just randomly recognize him in places, and I could get us out of situations with diplomacy if I knew that somebody there I had interacted with before or who knew me. So just little things and expanding off of that, and just storytelling as a character as well, and then working with your DM to implement that in interesting ways.
That reminds me of the Sir Barrington story.
We love Sir Barrington.
Anybody who's listening to this podcast probably knows the Sir Barrington story, but basically somebody was a bear who had a high enough charisma and disguise check to pretend to be a human, and to the point where if anybody was like, wait, that's a bear, everybody else would get really mad and kick the person who recognized that it was a bear out of the room.
Oh, no.
Very Emperor's New Clothes style. That's yes. Barrington, how dare you? He's not a bear.
How dare you disrespect Sir Barrington? I'm really excited for this particular session too, because I rolled out a character to play to help you guys along with your adventure. Because we needed another person in the party.
Oh yeah.
Is it someone who does melee combat?
Yes, it is.
Morally not bankrupt as hell.
Yes, it is. Well.
Okay, so you're telling us that we can corrupt them. Let's go.
Is this our first, like, good character? Good line?
No, they're true neutral.
Okay. Oh, okay. So they also would be able to walk into the place without being cursed or whatever.
Yep.
Classic.
Yep. They would be able to walk into a place that has magical spells that curse good aligned characters and just get through like the rest of the dang party. You guys are always getting past my traps.
Because we're all...
Dude, does even a single one of you
have a good aligned character? I would have gotten away with it too if it weren't for you meddling kids.
Yeah, you meddling kids and your dog.
You're fundamentally being bad people.
Fundamentally, you being bad people was better for the town. Because you were better at the dungeon.
We'll see about that.
Initiative 2!
Oh, that's me! What up, folks? I have a minus 1 to dex, so I actually got a 1 on this initiative.
Hell yeah!
I do feel like maybe we harmonized quite well. I feel like we've Rogan talked about dank spell chains. So I guess we're not only talking about roleplay, but, Rogan was like, maybe you can talk about, D&D and gay shit. And I'm like, oh, I love that. That's very fun. That's very me. But what I was thinking about was, like, how cool and important I think role play is in like trying things out for your perception of yourself.
Yes.
Right? You're like, I can't necessarily commit to this in my life as my person in my actual relationships. That has really high stakes. It's very low stakes hanging out with your buddies to say, what if this was true about myself, what would that feel like? Let's play it out for a minute. And I feel like as, you know, kids, you do that constantly. And as adults, you really don't get that opportunity. And I think that it's really important. I think, like, personally, I do a lot of therapy because of all of my mental illnesses.
Same.
Thank you. But no, I found that I really enjoy, sometimes people do like affirmations where you say like, I am this and whatever. And I'm like, that feels kind of fake. But I've gotten really into this, what if this were true about me? Or, you know, what if I was strong instead of I am strong? I don't feel that way, actually. Which feels like much more truthful and useful.
I'm vibing so hard with everything you're saying right now.
Yeah. So, I mean, in my real life, I play with y'all, and this is a much straighter party than any other party that I've ever played with. I mostly play with all queers. And there's very, like, what if I was a person who used they-them pronouns, and you play that out with your buddies, you know, once every other week for a while, and you go, oh, that feels amazing, or oh, that doesn't quite feel right for me. And, like, there's something beautiful about having that opportunity, but there's also, like, I was like, what if I was a big, muscly, barbarian woman? Like, hell, that yeah. Felt amazing to have a moment where, which was my character that we played in the campaign that Rogan DM'd, I was like, what if I was just, like, huge and powerful and strong and I get to live in that space whenever we play?
And it's a completely safe space to try that out, too. Like, it's a character. Nobody's gonna stop you from playing your character the way you want to play. Or we have the cards now, too.
Exactly. And so, anyway, there's something really beautiful about having this place where you're like, what would it feel like if this? And then you get to do it and you're like, that's what that would feel like.
Yeah, I never really thought about that for D&D, but I vibe so hard with that.
Mm-hmm. And like, I love that the concept of like being able to experiment with like all of that like those different perspectives and stuff, and yeah, like kind of jumping into a role where like normally like you maybe wouldn't be comfortable. Sort of like trying it out and like even within various classes and stuff too, there's like so many different directions you can go with that completely change the character and like really important and fun for like just I guess like discovery what you would like out of that. And like if you are into like a certain topic, like could say mushrooms with our good friend Emily Axford.
Or honestly, me, I'm so yes. Obsessed with mushrooms right now. It's all fun.
Well, you should listen to the first ever episode of Arcana Archives. Learn all about mushrooms and continue your obsession, TM. Just go to anywhere that you get your podcast, TM, and scroll to the beginning of our feed.
Anywhere that you get your podcast is trademarked.
Yeah, like, by me. Right this second.
I, as a fairly new, like, player, but also, like, DM, I haven't had, like, as much of that experience of, like, going into sort of in my boundaries of, like, what I, like, I've mostly played, I've played, like, all male characters and stuff so far, but, like, I have plans of, like, hey, this would be really cool if I could do this, and like I the next character that I want to play is like a female halfling, and it would be so fun. I think just with the direction that I want to go with the character and those dank chains.
To end us off today, I was thinking I could read the Sir Barrington Green text.
Oh yes, I have one thing after that.
Oh, okay, you go ahead then. I'll just finish off with this because I think it's funny.
Okay, well, yes. I just thought we would sort of close off today with another thing that I think is really important and is a large part of D&D. That is sort of the party dynamic of like characters coming in, people sitting around a table and sort of, like Anna said, exploring things and just having fun with each other and being able to sit down with a group and feel that connection. And I feel that a large part of like the party in game has to do with sort of that found family and the characters who were brought together by like separate circumstances, common goal towards that, and then ultimately becoming closer than just friends in a lot of cases. And I feel like that is sort of the same thing in a lot of cases with people around the table as well. And I just wanted to say that I think all of you guys are that for me, that found family. As you all come from different stages in my life, and are just all so important.
Oh, that's the sweetest thing I've ever heard Rogan say in my entire life. I'm gonna throw up. Just kidding.
That's beautiful. Now, please read us a Tumblr post about a bear.
Yeah, let's.
Can you have an Uru-Rar speak? I apologize.
I had something I was gonna add to the very sweet thing that Rogan said, and then I
instead you roasted me.
I'm so precious and sincere. I can't let these emotional feelings stand.
I roasted you in a way that only family yes. can. Yeah. Okay. Be me. Make a bear character. D&D 3.5. DM laughs. Make bear a rogue. Put every point I can into disguise. Prestige class as a spy to get more disguise. DM says I can't speak English. Max out bluff. By growling and gesturing, I can fake speaking a language I don't speak, English. Use money to hire a butler NPC. Give him magical item to let him speak bear. Growl! Ah, an excellent suggestion, Mr. Barrington. We really should ask the group to investigate the Black Marsh. Over the course of the game, be knighted as Sir Barrington. Queen holds a dinner in my honor. A guest becomes the first man to ever make a perception check that can beat my disguise. Shouts out loud, "Hey, that guy's not a guy. He's just a bear." Man is escorted out of the castle while the guards apologize profusely for the indignity. "We're sorry, Sir Barrington. Very sorry for this man's behavior." Roar! Shrug. And that's my favorite green text.
And that's another one for the archive. Thank you for listening to the Arcana Archives, an exploration into nerddom.
If you have any questions or suggestions for future topics or guests, please reach out to us at arcanacollective.archives@gmail.com.
Or follow us on Facebook or Instagram with the username @ArcanaArchives.
Hope to see you again!